Janet helped us start our first annual fund campaign last year. I had done some things rather informally on a much smaller basis in a couple of the years previous, but we hadn't had lots of success. And so with some monies made available to us by the Metropolitan Regional Arts Council, which we sometimes call MRAC, they made a grant available to us for the very task of increasing our individual donations. And so last year, around just before the holidays, we sent out our first letter. We identified approximately 500 individuals. Of those 500, about 125 were new individuals to us. We were given names by many of the board members. Our biggest input point was Eric. And as a result, we have had just wonderful success this year. Our individual donations, as you'll note on the profit and loss, are upwards of $10,000. That compares to about $3,000 in years past, actually more like $2,500 in years past. And though some of that is reflected in some other memorial gifts, much of it is as a result of our annual fund campaign. And yet, the numbers, the new donors that we've had that have come in, are still rather small. So we're continuing to work with Janet. The grant is still available to us. We have not worked it all off yet. So we're still putting Janet through some paces, and that means that Janet's here to put you through some paces as well.
I think we were looking at a 3-month engagement initially or something.
Right,
really
right. We thought we'd... And I'm not really sure, as I really look at it, what our thinking was. Because I wasn't going to send out 4 annual fund campaign letters in the course of 4 months. But we're still working, and we still have the funding to help, to have her help us. So I'm going to turn it over to Janet. We had some late afternoon cancellations, so we're not at the numbers that I had hoped. But with 2 new people and 2 people that have heard some of these things before, I still think there'll be some good things that we can get out of it. So,
good.
Janet.
That's me. Pleased to be back again. I guess I really recognize just 2 faces, Harrison and Eric. And I know there are a lot of people that aren't here today, but I do want to commend Eric especially, but also some of the other people that aren't here for really providing some leadership this last year in what has become the first major year of doing an annual campaign of this level. And Eric in particular, I think, has really exemplified how you can take your personal and professional and whatever passions and life and really bring them together and show people what you are about and what your mission is or what your values are, and so that when it comes time to asking your friends, colleagues, whatever, for support for your organization, they're ready. I mean, I think the people who know Eric know of his passion for the arts and also commitment to access. The little I know of Eric, that much is clear.
But this past year really has shown that well, for the benefit of the people that weren't here last year, what we did about exactly a year ago, I'd say, is we had an exercise, I think in this room, I'm not sure, of doing some prospecting, where we just brainstormed who in the world is close to BSA, who should be, who might be. And we talked literally who's close, who's proximate to the office, people in the old building, for instance. But also board, past board, friends, family, others in organizations that have worked with VSA, artists, people who've gotten grants, that type of thing. And developed quite a prospect list. And Craig is
worked very hard at pulling all those names together, and board members provided a lot of names that we merged, and we found a software program that may or may not be working on.
No, it's doing okay.
Doing okay, yeah. All right, good. It wasn't that expensive, that was one criteria. Mm-hmm. And then we sent out a few letters asking for support at some level, and it worked, and it didn't work as much as one hope always, but it certainly exceeded the 1% return that you always hope for. So it worked. So that's, we've learned some things from this in terms of the fact that the board does have contacts and is willing to make contacts to a certain level. We'll keep these names on the database.
Oh, yeah.
And
they're
continue.
Not going
they're not going anywhere unless they have to go somewhere. But what I think we need to do now, and what I'd like to see the board do now, is take it to the next level in terms.
I did find my numbers. But,
oh, good. Good.
General donations was at $4,400. Which was up from $2,500 the year previous. And that was still with about a quarter to go. So it was a 34% change and over $1,500 worth of change. We did have some of the memorial gifts, and that bumped up our individual donation areas. But overall, like I said, it was about a 50% increase over the year before, and that was more than I could have really imagined, actually.
That's great, yeah. Do you know what percentage of the overall income individuals have?
It is more like about 8 to 9% as compared with 2 to 3.
That's fabulous. I mean, I think that's really great. I knew it was at 2. I wasn't sure what you're up to. And the challenge before the board then is to take it to the next level, and I'm going to call this the Eric challenge. The Eric challenge. In terms of getting to the point where each and every board member has a group of contacts, people, professionals, family, whatever, where when it comes time to write that letter at the end of the year, signing your name to a letter asking for support, where it's not catching anybody by surprise. And that really means letting people know throughout the year, not only that you're a board member here, but what you believe in. Because I think if you're just to kind of go around and say, hi, I'm a board member of BSA, you have to do a lot of explaining, and you may or may not hold their attention just on that basis. But if you find something else to talk about, or if you find out one of those teachable moments that we have with kids, talk about all the time, throughout the year. I'll give you an example that just happened to me recently. Somebody I know is running a fellowship program for photographers. It's a National Photography Fellowship Program for McKnight, actually, no problem. He was looking for national level reviewers to review these artist applications, and really wanted to bring in one particular artist named Dao Bay, who's a photographer who's exhibited at the Walker Art Center. And but he said to me, you know, I don't think I'll ask him to do it, because I know that he's got some speech communication problem, like a big stutter or something. You know, he's not, he probably would be uncomfortable, so I'm not going to ask him to be on the panel. And you know, I don't know if my response was the best response in the whole world, but I said, you know, wait a second, you're excluding him before you've even asked him if he wants to be a part of this, and maybe what you need to, you know, he hasn't gotten where he is today, just in fact, I'm sure he has an opinion on photography and would like to be asked, and maybe you need to think about what he needs, if he does need something, and just let him ask or whatever. I don't know if that's the completest response I could have gotten, but I think it turned that person around. You know, throughout the year, there are many, many such moments. And then talking about what the essay does. And I thought maybe, you know, we talked about, Craig and I had talked about maybe talking about what the message of the essay is today, and what people are, how people do talk about the essay, and what some of the most interesting stories or sound bites or whatever, you know, we can give when we talk about the essay.
And as I passed out to the board at the last meeting, kind of the overview of the four program areas that we have, of the direct programs that we have, the assistance that we provide to individual artists, the work in advocacy and education that we do, and the accessibility work that we do with arts organizations. Those are the only four program areas that we work in. And then there are a lot of things that fall under that. And I know that one sheet of paper is still not succinct enough, isn't as specific enough to give all of you a thumbnail sketch of what it is that we do. So I guess I would be looking to you for some input about what would you like to see from, you know, John and me, that you could help better sell what it is, not sell, at least relate what it is that BSA Arts of Minnesota does. Are there any things that people can think of just off the top of their heads in that regard?
This will be Anna Thompson.
I think it's helpful just to have a more general definition than a specific program. I mean, I know what Art of the Eye is in terms of the exhibit, but if you were to do a brief paragraph or even just a couple sentences that say direct programs include residencies, exhibits, you know, much like you might put in a brochure that describes what a program is without getting the specifics of each individual program. Same with access service, artist services, and education and awareness. That might make it easier on the bullets. Something else.
Well, you said like what would go in a brochure. Would you like to have a brochure?
Yeah. Or even just a smaller snippet. The other thing I was thinking of is maybe a reproducible page that has photos from throughout the year. Regions. When you open a newsletter or you open a brochure and you see that in action, it really makes a difference when I'm sending something out, I mean, in terms of marketing materials. Especially with things that involve kids, any of the things that you're working in schools, you know, kids and animals, you can't beat that. Anyone who works in theater knows that.
When you did the first campaign, did you have to read all of it through letter, or was
okay, there wasn't any kind of a annual brochure?
No, actually, Eric had asked for some of his people that were completely new to the organization, and I think a couple other members might have said this too, could you throw in a newsletter? Mm-hmm. And so at that time, I think that quarterly newsletter was 4 pages, and so that worked.
It was small. Yeah.
This one, our current newsletter, is at 12 pages.
Yeah.
And so we won't be able to use what is currently available, mm-hmm. but maybe it drives us to our next newsletter, if it was going to be in that format, to be included, that it'd be smaller. So mm-hmm. it could go in, or just a fact sheet piece or a brochure
yeah.
piece.
You could have a fold-out page, you could have a loan-in page, that you could have an overrun of, that could go out with a solicitation letter that might have photos with captions on one side, and as long as you're making use of that and printing it, on the back side maybe you have your pie chart or percentage
yeah.
of, you know, that kind of thing that says this is the amount that we raise annually, and without getting into complete specifics of the budget, but you know, the last 2 sponsor calls I've done with the then Harvard MBA, it's amazing the numbers they want. very much into the accounting end. You know, how much of your gross, how much of your operating budget is brought in by, grants, foundations, ticket revenue, et cetera, be able to pull those percentages out so they see the other resource issues. Because you do a wonderful job at it.
In terms of what the stories are about TSA, I mean, you could approach it by saying, these are the programs we do and these are the services we do. Oh, there's a pie chart.
Yeah, here's your pie chart in the report. In color. In color.
What do people say? I know a lot, there are some board, new board members here, please, but those, Eric and Karis, those of you have been around a little bit longer, what do you say when you talk about BSA?
I talk about how it brings people into the community and provides them that access, whether it be through simple things like adaptive equipment and more so the idea of including people with disabilities in the arts community.
Mm-hmm. I used to say it was for schools and student groups, but of course that's changed. I had someone ask me recently related to the Art of the Eye exhibit and said that that very special arts provide, BSA Arts provides access and services, promoting awareness of artists with disabilities and providing arts experiences for students and adults with disabilities, so that the arts are accessible not only as audience members but in terms of experience in the arts through festivals, etc. I try to emphasize the experiential component because I think it's important rather than passive. And then the assistance, of course, working with theaters and galleries, helping us do a better job of serving our audiences.
I really wish Terrace's voice had been heard more loudly in Washington, because BSA Art Connect, or Arts Connect, was one of the names that was floating for a while that was being considered. Because that's how I see BSA as well. It's connecting people, it's connecting organizations. So I like your defining of that. Yeah.
And then I'm also just curious, Eric, in terms of this past year and these hundreds of people.
Just so you guys know, Eric gave us 93 names, and of the 93, we did have donations from 15, just short of $600.
Which is a fabulous return.
Yeah.
Yep. And Jim Hansen had 3 donors out of 5, which actually was very good. Stephen Schmidt had 2 out of about 20. And
which
Stephen
is
Oates,
more typical percentage.
Right. Yeah, and Stephen Oates had 1 out of, I believe, 1. And then there were still a number of board members that were still struggling to identify who those people are that we want to contact. And so it's looking to Eric as our model here, because it's knowing who's in your address book and being able to share that address book if you're comfortable with doing that. But at the same time, it's more than just sharing that. People had to know that Eric had an interest in this organization. Mm-hmm. So.
Did you get people asking questions, or did you follow up with people at all? Or
I followed up.
How did you do that?
Mainly by telephone.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so got a third of them.
Mm-hmm. Did you have any bad reactions? Or
none at all.
Good.
And we're not necessarily looking for 93 names from everyone. We don't want to scare anyone away here. We're just noting what has been done and what can be done.
So we have to make friends fast, huh?
And actually, I should say something about that, too. I mean, Anna, you may have a number of friends not only being in the state, for 2 years.
Year and a half, actually.
Okay, year and a half. that you have friends and family and other acquaintances elsewhere.
What did you say?
Oh, no. I was talking about Inkai.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
So go ahead. You had some more things to say, but we talked about that we'll be looking for that because of our match.
Yeah, that's all. I'm saying that if there are goods and services, but I think what you need to do is provide a list or to keep the board knowing what sorts of things we're looking for. So
let me just, I think I have it on this pad. Earlier I was talking about kinds of things that we were thinking about in kind. Legal services, printing services, accounting services, website, a marketing plan, taking slides of artists' work that we then make those slides available to the artists. Many of the artists with disabilities do not have money available to them to take slides of their work to enter in grant applications or whatever.
Are you going to put this in?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Framing. Interpreters for board meeting. And I can tell you that some of our interpreters, and Mary is one of them, have donated back to the SA for our fees, their fees. I always have to go to Washington for at least one meeting a year. If people have frequent flyer miles to give, that can be, I think at our end it can be counted as a donation, but to the individual they cannot accept. We cannot put a cash value on that frequent flyer donation. If it's them buying a ticket and us getting the ticket, then they can take the donation and we can accept it. Those are in kind. Lodging, if we have people coming in spending the night, or we're sending people off to other cities and they need to spend the night, that can be an in-kind donation. Transportation, as of the next meeting, I would like board members to keep track of their transportation, whether I think Stephen Schmidt at the next meeting is going to ask if we might be able to reimburse board members for long trips. So he and now Anna will be coming from farther away. If we are not reimbursing for that, or if the policy is not developed for that, that transportation is something that we can take as an in-kind donation, and you can be taking.
Oh, really?
Well,
you,
sure.
can take, you can take that.
Well, sure. Mm-hmm. Parking fees for being here, whatever the individual board member is incurring to be part of a board, mm-hmm. if we're not reimbursing them, then that's a donation to us. So those kinds of things. Those are small things, but a lot of those small things could amount to a good amount. Bus fare to get to the board meeting. That as well. Ad space in newspapers for some things that we're trying to do. Office supplies, office equipment, art supplies, refreshments at board meetings. Those are things that could all be, they benefit the organization. I could acknowledge those various things to individuals or organizations as gifts and build up our in-kind budget.
You'll be tracking all that?
And we'll be tracking, and actually the gift maker tracks differently for in-kind and for cash, so our software will be able to handle that. So. The reason we've got Janet here today is we're hoping to do this year's annual fund letter earlier than we did last year. Last year's went out after Thanksgiving, and we had good responses, actually, between Thanksgiving and Christmas. But we all know how we get inundated with annual fund letters right around the holidays. And my schedule is to get the letter out this year by November 1. So that it's out before Thanksgiving. So what that means for us is that we're looking at getting the letter ready, getting ideas as to what to include in the letter, but also having the names of people that, that we want to this new letter to go. And every name that was given to us last year is still in the mix and will be solicited again. So Tara's the name she gave me last year, and basically I think those two were family members like in New York or Massachusetts. And so they'll be asked again, so you might let them know that they might be receiving a letter from us. And if there's more people that you can tell us about.
I tried, but it wasn't good enough.
Yeah. So any other names, any more names that you can think of, people?
Will the letter go out on your signature?
Well, that we worked last year that they went under the signature of the person that gave us the name. So Eric's 93 letters went with his signature. Karis's 3 or 4 went with his signature. Stephen Schmidt's 22 or 25 went with his. And so we were able to set them up that way.
And that's really the best.
Oh, yeah.
It's a more personal appeal.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, not that these are our contacts.
Right.
So we'll do it that way again?
Yes.
Okay.
It probably makes sense. The letter was the same for everybody. So you didn't necessarily have everybody's personal tone to it, but...
But if there are things that you think might make your letter, might give your letter a more personal tone, I'm sure we could arrange for that too. Word processing makes lots of things pretty easy. So it's just a matter of having an extra paragraph here that we can slide in for these 20, or an extra paragraph here that we can slide in for those 20. So that could be done too. Or I could give you a disk, or I could email you the text of the letter and give you some stationery, and you could format it and send it out too.
Okay.
And we can do it either way. It doesn't all have to go from one location. We do these first class. I think it's for a small organization such as ours, I don't think it's good to do a funding letter bulk mail. So
how many did you send out besides what the board members did?
Let's see, I think we're at about another 350 to 400 names. And they are either have a past history of being donors, or are people that maybe Janet has identified through some sources that she's had, or they're personal or professional contacts that I have, or that the organization has had for years.
I would be interested in seeing the letter and then tailoring my letter to go, if you can give letterhead and email that to me, and then I could tailor it, and then I could send you in a table or in an Excel setup, or whatever format works for you, to dump it into your database, my mailing list,
mm-hmm.
and then you'll know who I've sent it to, mm-hmm. and I'll go ahead and send it off, and maybe buy the book stamps, save you some postage to you.
One little trick that always helps, at least from my end, is to write a little PS on the letter and just say anything will help when it's from a friend or whatever.
That's what I do on a follow-up.
Yeah.
That if you tell them that, you know, we don't expect, you know, such and such dollar amount, what you can give, and then I think that makes them feel more relaxed, and then they do end up giving what you probably were expecting, if not more.
One of the most effective letters, that I ever received was for a dance company that got a challenge grant where they have to do matching.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, I'm an arts administrator, but I think I would have had a hard time training down no matter what. The fact that I knew for every dollar I gave them was immediately going to be matched. I got my checkbook out before I finished reading the letter,
mm-hmm.
and filled the check and put it in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
Boom. I mean, I called them and said, boy, was this a good letter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was from their artistic director. The other form that always gets to me is I serve on an alumni board, and we have to make a contribution every year. When we dedicated our new boardroom, the president of the board sent a letter to each of us and said she had made the commitment of X hundred of dollars, $500 I think it was, and that she hoped that each of us would commit at least that much,
mm-hmm.
to the organization. Now, obviously that was going to, you know, we could do it for 5 years, we could do it for 2 years, but maybe with some of the corporate possibilities, that might be able to take, I don't know how you feel about that, setting a dollar figure, saying I've contributed X number of dollars to this organization because I believe in it, and then make sure we have done that. And then, you know, make that challenge,
right,
that you feel, strongly about the organization and hope that they would contribute something, percentage to it, meet that challenge.
I can tell you that this past year, we had very few corporations that we approached this way.
It was all individuals.
It was individuals. From what I'm hearing from Eric, it sounds like we're going to start getting more into that, or at least a possibility of that. And I'm open, and the letter can be written in much the same way, but there is some tweaking between an individual letter and a corporate letter. But I would be open to that.
Because for new individuals, you want to get them to give any dollar amount, to get them on the bandwagon.
Right.
And then once they've donated, will they start receiving a newsletter?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, then they're gonna buy and line and sinker by the next time we set up.
That's what we hope for.
That's right.
Yeah, it's always easier to get a second donation than to get the first donation.
So you raise an important point in terms of what do we do the rest of the year? Well, we send them the newsletter, but maybe a mid-year thank you or something to people, non-solicitation.
And you don't have premiums. I mean, there are some things right now that we can send.
That's a whole other topic we've talked about as an honorary board.
Yeah. So just when you were talking about acknowledgments, I like to write personal thank yous. When I do a call for a sponsorship, I write a handwritten note whether we're giving any money or not. The very next day, if you have note cards for the organization, I would be willing to write, and other board members feel about this, a personal thank you to any of my list that have donated.
Oh, okay.
I think it's more personal, and
we don't
have time to do that. But
right.
if we
do
that,
very much a form letter that the software package allows me to print just like that, and out they go, and I generally acknowledge the day I receive the gift. So in that way we're quick, and but it's not personal.
Right. I think it would just be, again, following through
on that.
Even if it's a month later,
saying
if it comes from the board members who provided that signed the letter saying, you know, we're really happy that you made a donation, this book means a lot to me.
Right. The things that I was mentioning is this book, The Journey to Here, that many of us have seen. If I did not pass one of these on to you yet.
I don't see that.
Or our t-shirts. We're not special anymore. But what we are, promoting the creative spirit in and making the arts accessible to people with a disability. So those are things that we have right now. We don't have note cards, but things like that could be created. And then this was just a kind of a certificate that I modeled just on another state's BSA Minnesota. That's what we were at the time it was created. Hereby recognizes me as a friend whose invaluable support helps BSA Minnesota provide access and opportunities for children and adults with disabilities to grow through the arts. And then signed by a board member or whatever. So, and these are easily created too, just with, and they're suitable for frame.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice paper. So, I mean, it's not as nice as what Michigan had done, but it's what I had in the office, so that's what I, but I haven't done this on a real ongoing basis yet either. So there are some things that we can do in addition to the regular form letter that goes out. They need that. Their donation is over $75 during the year. But whether they give me $5 or $100, everybody gets the letter. And in a lot of organizations, that doesn't happen. They only send it out when it reaches the level that by IRS law they have to send an acknowledgement. But I acknowledge everything.
Yeah, that's how they do it.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
I've made a recommendation to Craig that we, that the board institute a development committee, two or three people who would meet between board meetings on the phone or in person or whatever, just to keep the fundraising agenda on the front burner, determine
assist with writing the letter.
Policies.
Assist with getting things out.
Yep. Follow up with board members.
And note card acknowledgement, that might be something that group, and I'd like to see everyone do that, but it might be something that the group could handle, so.
And I'd be happy to work with that group in between board meetings.
Okay. Well, we'll be continuing to work with Janet. I have a feeling I'm going to be asking for another round of some names that she may have. More than likely, she'll be assisting with this next letter that will go out. And I would guess that by the end of this calendar year, our formal relationship will be pretty much through with her, because that will have expended the grant monies. But if there is need and reason to continue, then we will. And I've enjoyed
I'd love it.
Working with. So
good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions